Welcome to the Robin Comrade Show. Rob Sanders.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
The Rob and Comrade Podcast. I just wanna be.
Are you ready to start the show, or are you going to be a douche?
Always.
Welcome into the Robin Comrade Show, the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I am Rob Sanders, your host. I would like to welcome into the show, of course, as always, before I welcome in my co-host, I represent the Clemson Tigers, your reigning, defending, SEC-slapping, top-ranked team-slapping Clemson Tigers. Keep sending us the SEC teams. We love those. I also have a co-host for this show. He's celebrating a win. Let's clap for him over a Big South team, the comrade Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
It is good to be here. I'm a little bit tired now. I'm late, but what happened was I did not watch the Gamecock game live. I was at a baseball tournament with my son. But when I came home...
Hey, Mike, don't worry. Nobody else watched it live either.
When I came home, I said, you know what? I'm just going to watch our offense. I just want to watch our scoring plays. So yeah. I started watching it about 18 hours ago and just finished up just now. It was a long... Watching all those plays was a long time. So
all right.
Just watching, and now I'm here. I'm a little bit tired. Watched a lot of film. Just the scoring plays, and it took forever. That's what happens, you know, when the most prolific day in Gamecock history, offensively, takes place. And
you know, let's just piss on Connor Shaw and all the great stuff that he did.
I'm just, factually, it was the most productive offensive day in Gamecock history.
Okay, well, that's probably by design.
Will Muschamp is the...
You need to shut up about Muschamp.
Was Will Muschamp the coach?
Let's thank the patrons for our show. Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk, the czar of Clemson Sports, Thomas Dana Young, Stacey Marie Hamp, Keith Harrelson, he's watching online, we appreciate him, Jamie Phillips, Tabitha Sims, Robert Knight, Positive Mike, Lisa Sister Harkins, Jeff Pritchett, and Christian Young. A lot of those are watching on Facebook Live tonight. You may hear us reference some folks during the podcast here. For the folks that are driving down the road, which... By the way, since football season started, a record number of people are listening to our wonderful podcast here, and I can honestly say that I am honestly, truly, truly humbled by that. When we started this show, you know, I thought it would be just Mike and I talking to a bunch of folks in our Facebook group, but the download numbers are up, and I really appreciate that, so... Thank you for those who are downloading the podcast and listening to us as they go through their college football season. We appreciate that. But we especially appreciate our patrons. Of course, the folks I mentioned there, they give a dollar or two a month. It helps with things that the podcast needs, soundboards, equipment, all kind of little things that can make the show go, including this nice new set of headphones that I needed. So that I could make sure that I was amplifying to the folks in the Facebook live chat. Now they can hear me better. That's what Patreon money goes to support. So we appreciate the guys that do that and help out the show. We also have some sponsors. We'll start with Single Dad Lawn Care. Jamie Hendricks will take care of your yard. All you got to do is go to our website, robincomrade.com. You'll see his logo there. Click on it. Jamie Hendricks will call you. Come and get your yard cleaned up. That way you don't have to do it. And I'll tell you what, we got Halloween and all that coming up. You want your yard looking right. You don't want the trick-or-treaters to come up and be like, what the hell is this? Jamie Hendricks can fix it for you. SingleDadLawnCare.com. We also have Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. A great place to go and have some beer, wings. They are hosting our live show, which is on Black Friday. So you got to come to the live show. It's at Callaway's Bar and Grill. We will have beer. We will have wings. Come and have your own stuff. Get to see a whole live show that centers around the big matchup between South Carolina and Clemson. We look forward to the live show every year. We don't do a whole lot of live shows, but we do this live show. It's going to be Really, really cool. Callaway's Bar and Grill in West Columbia. Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, the live show. Find out more at robinconrad.com. We also have Dennis Wilson from DNC Trucking and Transport. Dennis posted a video earlier in one of our groups that made me almost piss myself laughing. But he does sponsor the No Spin Zone segment with the Comrade. Comrade, read away.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson is my national champion. Clemson won a national title before the Gamecocks won a bowl game. I am the sideshow Bob to the podcast. I'm also the Robin because Rob is Batman. North Carolina is the real Carolina. Only dummies think otherwise. Coastal Carolina has a Power 5 win. My Gamecocks do not. That proves once again it's utterly shameful to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. All facts there. I mean, I'm just saying, you can't really dispute any of those. So, that sucks. Sorry, comrade. I hate doing it to you every week, but then sometimes I don't. By the way, Dennis is signing up for another year, by the way. Just throwing that out there. So, yeah. We look for Gamecocks to sponsor the show, but the comrade can't find any.
You run them off. You run our Gamecocks sponsor.
I'm not running anybody off. There are Gamecock fans that are here that love me. They love me.
Lewis Bolin, right now, Lewis Bolin can confirm you run off potential Gamecock sponsors.
I do not. I do not run off Gamecock
sponsors. You don't want to read scripts like this. You get upset.
Let me give you an example of what some of these scripts are. The Gamecock women's basketball team beat Clemson by 45 last year.
No.
The Gamecock track and field team, they won the shot put over Clemson. That's what these comments would be. None of them would be involving football.
If you want to see the scripts that Rob would read, all you got to do is go to the Facebook Clemson v. Carolina Rivalry Room. I post my stuff in there, and you watch them get livid. Like, this little thing like this, and they get so angry. My favorite thing is when they comment 45 times saying, think I care about this? Like, well, obviously you do. Yeah, so lots of good stuff I can have. Lots of good stuff.
Yeah, well.
So I have fun, trust me. I have a whole book written of scripts I can give you right now because I've been waiting.
No Gamecock fan is going to sponsor this show for that.
We will.
No, they won't.
I'm going to go.
You're going to have to have a lot. I mean, there are no Gamecock fans going
to
do it.
I'm going to have to go to Lake. I'm going to have to do something. I got to figure this out. I'm going to go on the Heath Klein show. I'm going to like call up Heath one day and say, listen, Heath, here's my problem. Gamecock fans out there. And I think I'm going to do it. It's going to happen.
No. No. that's just not gonna happen. I won't be reading shit. I'll just be continuing to laugh at you, because that's the way that it'd be.
You will read the script.
No Gamecock fans gonna put up money, dude. You know that. Just the way that it is. I love my chicken and a biscuits. By the way, people mock me for the chicken and a biscuit. It's just the way that it is. Ryan has a good point. Ask Frank Martin next time you hang out with him.
Okay, I'm not with Frank Martin. Let me, because you guys don't listen. Here's what
I'm just reading his quote. That's all I'm reading. Don't get pissy.
You're reading the dummy's quote, okay? Because it got there. No, Frank Martin is a really good friend. Okay, that I met on Twitter. He's a Yankee fan. It's a long story, but we become friends. We like friends in terms of Twitter friends. Okay, like he'll like DM me stuff. And Frank invites me on the games. I had not met Frank Martin yet. Well, I met Frank once, but not because of that. I met Frank. But anyway, so I sit with him down there behind Frank Martin's bench sometimes, watching Gamecock games. We just kind of, you know, hang out. I haven't met Frank yet, but supposedly the next time he comes to a game, I'm going to meet Frank Martin. Well, who knows? And so last time, Beth was at the game, and so my choices were to go hang out with this dude and possibly meet Frank Martin, or go say hi to Beth. I'm sorry, Beth. You're going to lose that battle every time. All right, so.
Yeah, well.
Now, I'm not in Frank's DMs. I'm not. There's another guy named Frank. His name is Mike Brodsky. You can look him up on Twitter.
Why would I look him up on Twitter?
Well, if people are, you know. No, I've met Frank Martin's wife. I did meet Frank Martin's wife, yes. because she was sitting behind there with Frank's good friend.
So. Okay. Well, all right.
Had not met Frank Martin. I met him one time, like, hey, with my son, but not like, as in, a friend of his friend. So we'll see.
But I get some good stuff though.
I get a lot of good stuff behind the scenes stuff. He tells me that I don't really like to tell. I think I told you a few things. If I told you, don't say anything. But I don't want to say too much in the podcast some of the things because you know, yeah, he'll know where it comes from. But yeah, okay. Some things I find out, some little interesting tidbits.
Is there any truth to what Beth says? He told me he was in the bathroom. That's what he told you. That's what you told her.
I might have been. I go to the bathroom a lot of times. But no, the main thing was I went to the bathroom and then was going to see meet Mike. So
Zach's over the top tonight. I will not read your comment, Zach. Shame, shame. Shame, shame, Zach. Same, shame, shame. Anyway.
Zach went 1-5 this week, so he's probably a little upset, so leave him alone.
Do you want to do standings first, and then we'll talk about the games?
Yeah, please, because Lisa Stair Harkins has been messing me all day about we're up there yet, up there yet. Here's my thing. This year, new rules this year for the podcast, okay? The first thing is, this may not be a whatever, but if the Gamecocks lose a football game, what may I say if, because I'm going to lose again, okay? I'm not going to comment on the game on Facebook till the podcast comes out. I mean, I'll still comment in the rooms, but I won't talk about the game. I'll comment about something else, but I'm not going to give you my opinion on it until the podcast. We did it last time. We had a huge download number. Same thing. And also, the standings, I'm not going to put the standings up until just before airtime. That way, you have to either, you know, stay up for the show, whatever, wait the next day. So, new rules. We're trying to build more, you know, more like, you know, kind of anticipation for the show. So,
all right. So, I will read the standings here. As far as week two, we had, let's see here, Cale Hall was perfect, 5-0. Congratulations to Cale Hall. James Dunn went 5-0. Congratulations. Yes, sir, he is. So two Gamecocks went 5-0. Congratulations to them. Up top, though, leading the way is Cale Hall, tied with myself and Jeff Pritchett. Also, Dalton DeBose and Jason Sims, all tied at 12. What is it? How many picks have we had, Mike? 10?
17.
17. So 12 out of
17 total. So
yeah. So 12 out of 17. That's pretty solid, wouldn't you say, Mike?
Not bad.
Not bad. All right. Jason Sims kind of fell off this week. He went from perfect 10-0 in week one to 1-4 in week two. Pick yourself up, Jason. Yeah. Anyway, Ben Simmons, our recruiting coordinator, he is at 11, along with Jamie Spires, Carlos Holder, Chris Edwards, Austin Wooten, and Ken Bellinger. Everybody's right there. At 10, you've got Sean Fletcher, Lewis Bolin, Thomas Dana Young, Trey Gunnels. He's watching on Facebook tonight. We appreciate him. The Comrades also at 10, along with Tyler Thompson, John Michael Stroud, Christian Young, Brian Peek, and Thomas Dowell. James Dunn's at 9. Kevin Starkey's at 9. Kevin Starkey's pissed, by the way. He's a Tennessee fan. He's very upset right now. Yeah. Champ Anders is at 9. I don't know how he got 9. Champ. I'm reading the stuff that's here.
I know. That's what I put it there for him. So he would say
champ. I'm reading the stuff that's here. I know. I don't have a problem reading what's up here. By the way, Champ Anders finished dead last in the bowl pick'em last year by a lot. The maker of Chum is at 9, along with Tyler Crowder from Kicking It with Crowder. Dennis Wilson's at 9. Jeremy McClure's at 9, along with Mark McCurley, Sally Donegan, Kyle Spivey's at 9. Shane Bagwell's at 8, along with Wendy Wyatt, the demonic grandmother there, along with Jay Bennett, Tabitha Sims, Jamie Phillips, Billy Muse, Eddie Hicks, Nick Marsingale. Keith Whitley is dead, but he has 8 wins, along with Rich Long. Lowell Idolette's at 10. Lowell had a 0 this week. Did he submit picks?
He did. He did submit picks.
He submitted picks and he's at 0. What the hell, Lowell? Lowell's a former intern for for us at iHeartRadio, and he got a zero. Zach Solanto, he got a zero. Damn it. Chris Smith is at 7. Matt Hewlett, the Blue Waffles, at 7. Gary Mills is at 7. Lisa, who watches online, is at 7. Chris Drivers at 7. Zach is at 7. Stacey Hamp is at 7. Dean Kiesler's at 7. Nathan Medlin's at 7. Tyrone Quarles is at 7. Mike Muse is at 6. Keep fighting there, Mike. Keep fighting there, buddy. David Butts is at 6. Chris Renz is at 6. Matt Tomlinson's at 6. Dave Sanders is at 6. Freddie Huth is at 6, along with Tim South at 5. Seth Stokes at 5. And Richard Stein at 5. And Ruben, I don't think Ruben from Callaway's has made a pick yet.
Well, he didn't pick this past week, but he picked the first 2 weeks and didn't do well. I think he's said, screw it.
Yeah, donation well, money. Here's the thing. If you aren't in it, if you miss 3 straight weeks, we boot you. That's just the way that it is. So, sorry about that. But there you go. So, there's the standings. Was there a game that stuck out to you besides the South Carolina or Clemson game that you were kind of shocked by, Mike?
Yeah, Nebraska-Colorado. I felt like going in, the only game, well, the two games I felt really good about were the LSU game and Nebraska. I thought Nebraska was much better than Colorado.
Hold on now. Real talk. I would assume that you would have loved your Gamecocks there. I mean, I thought that was the safest pick on the board.
Well, you know, I did, but 40 points, you never know if you get a little backdoor cover.
But, Mike, that's a Big South offensive line. I know, they could have lined up with anybody at quarterback and just hand the ball off and score 60 points.
When I'm making picks a lot of times, too, you're as a Gamecock fan, you're don't know if you're your heart or your head, you know. So I try not to kind of, you know, and a good example, the pick I felt most confident about last week was the Gamecock pick over UNC.
Yeah.
So anyway, this week going in, I felt really good about LSU beating Texas, and I felt really good about Nebraska covering against Colorado because I thought Nebraska is much better. And of course, at halftime of the Nebraska game, I looked at the score. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a genius. That's an easy win. And then I looked down, like, you know, half hour later, I'm like, what the hell's going on? And here's one thing. My favorite thing is, if I pick a team to cover the spread, say they're the favorite,
right,
and it's clear they're not going to cover, I want their ass to lose outright. Because I'm like, you are not going to get the glory of the game and not cover for me. Because I want them to lose so I can decide. I said, good. That's what you deserve to lose. Because you didn't cover the spread anyway. So I was glad to see they got beat in the end. Because, like, that's what you screwed around and did that. So same thing with the Tar Heel game. I had Miami covering. And that game I wasn't really sure about. That was my toss-up game. Because you didn't have no clue how good UNC is. Are the Gamecocks that bad? Is UNC good? I like Miami.
Right.
I picked Miami to cover that game just from the standpoint that I think Miami is underrated this year.
Right.
And I wanted to make myself believe the Tar Heels were good because they beat the Gamecocks, but I just couldn't do it. So I took the Hurricanes to cover, and the Tar Heels shocked them. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's not a shock anymore. I don't know.
I was in love with I thought that Miami was going to come out and win that game big. I did pick the LSU game. I thought it would be worse than it was. But if you remember, I said last week, I love Army in Michigan. 22 points I thought was an absolute sham. And Army almost beat them in the Big House. But that was my – I mean, I'm pretty sure I said that in here more than once. I know I said it on my Fox Sports show, but Army almost pulled the upset. So we're going to pick our games for next week here shortly. But let's talk about the South Carolina win first. Then we'll do the Clemson win. Then we'll do our picks. I have in front of me here some of the comments that were made by Gamecock fans after their big win over Charleston Southern. Thanks to Matt Tomlinson, by the way, for giving me these. These are actual quotes from Gamecock fans in Smack Talk groups. One of them was actually made by somebody on this show. Wasn't me, but maybe it's his first comment. Nick Saban is going to shit himself when he sees Zelensky.
That's not true. My comment was, Nick Saban's going to shit himself when he sees his team play. Once again, Ned Flanders doesn't quite
I'm just telling you what he sent
accurate.
Me. I'm reading what he sent me. Dabo hates what he is seeing from Helsinki. I physically seen that quote, and I laughed hysterically. Helsinki will beat Alabama. Helsinki will win 9 games. The Carolina offense is nasty good with Helsinki. Helsinki will definitely beat Kentucky. Helsinki is as good or better than Connor Shaw. Charleston Southern University would beat half the teams on Clemson's schedule, including Georgia Tech. The game was more proof that Muschamp is a great coach. And Helsinki would beat Michigan. Do you agree with any of those, Mike?
First of all, I'm ashamed of you.
Why?
Okay. First of all, those are from a game thread. About 90% of those comments are all tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic in the game thread.
Hold on now. You're the guy that always holds my feet to the fire. Mean what you say.
Okay. Ned Flanders, new to the group. A lot of those things were said as a joking manner, okay? But you know that. But it's fine. Okay? And that's what it is. The game threads are for, a lot of things are for comedy effect, okay? And we say those things all the time. So, I made my statement before the kickoff about the Saban thing,
okay,
which was something to laugh about. But that's fine. You can use this stuff. I mean, Ned Flanders is brand new, and he's still trying to figure things out.
I'm just saying what I got here. I didn't read all that stuff because...
And listen, we have to give Ned Flanders a strong curve when it comes to figuring things out, because he's not really what you call sharp.
He was sharp enough to pick North Carolina to beat the Gamecocks.
Yeah, well, he's saying. Also sharp enough to go. He's 6-11 right now in the pick'em contest. So, you know, sharpness. You know, I think he's huffing on gasoline cans a little bit too much. But that just could be.
Just saying, it's right there. I don't know. So. I have seen Gamecock fans that are running their mouth. Cale Hall said today that made a comment on some video that they were going to be 2-0 or 2-1 or something. Is there realistically any shot for the Gamecocks to beat Alabama?
Is there any shot? I mean,
No. In a realistic shot.
let me preface by saying this. Okay, so before the season began, before the loss to UNC, my contention was that our defense was better than last year.
Which it's not.
Run defense.
Which it's not. Make sure you put that out there.
My pick before the season began was that we'd give Bama a game, and that they'd probably win by 10 to 14 points. They would score late. They'd have the ball up by a score. We'd be trying to stop them. We wouldn't be able to stop their running game at the end. Win by 10 to 14 points. Now I don't feel quite as count about that right now. I really thought we'd play them well. I just don't know. Our run defense still didn't look great this past week, and so that kind of worries me, because if Bama can run at will, then suddenly it's hard to beat anybody that can run on you. So we're going to need an inspired performance. We're going to need some luck. We're going to need a pick six and a block punt. You know, can it happen? I mean, can it all happen? Can you know the atmosphere? Yeah, it could. But you know, I'm more looking for the Gamecocks just to compete, just to look like they
look like they care.
I'm looking for the Gamecocks can do the rest of the year. So this game was more about, can the Gamecocks take care of business?
Right.
Beat Missouri. Beat Kentucky. Beat Florida. Beat Tennessee, and beat those teams. This game will kind of show me what kind of team we're going to have. If we just rolled over and earned the game and lose 51-3, then we could be in trouble. We give them a ball game, hang in there, actually look like we can stop the run a little bit at times, look like we can get pressure on Tua a couple times, look like our offense can get a running game going against Bama. If we can show that, then suddenly I think we can beat Florida, we can beat Missouri, we can beat Kentucky, we can beat Tennessee, and we can go 5-3 in the conference, which is kind of my goal for the year.
Do you know who Ronnie Harris is?
Who's Ronnie Harris? No.
Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea who Ronnie Harris is?
Who's Ronnie Harris? Running back for Bama?
No. Who? Ronnie Harris is a running back for Charleston Southern that averaged 6.6 yards a carry against the South Carolina offense. And not to be disrespectful to Ronnie Harris, but Ronnie Harris would be a trainer at Alabama. Their running backs are going to shred South Carolina. That's why I'm calling this show tonight the Pump Your Brakes edition. There are people that are out there and they're looking, my God, Helinski looked great. Helinski also threw an interception. And I'm not trying to hang the man out to dry, but you shouldn't throw interceptions against teams from the Big South. It comes back to the same thing that I've said from the beginning of the season. You're not that good. And I hate to be that way, but you're not that good. Now, Helinski did put up some good numbers. And he, one thing that he did, and I'm not trying to throw shade on Jake Bentley, who, by the way, is injured and is out for the season. But Helinski looked like he was playing within himself. He looked like he was jacked up, but he wasn't on his own planet. Does that make sense, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. So on that front, Helinski can make some throws. 24-30 against a very, very, very weak Charleston Southern team that's dealing with academic issues and everything else from last season. Where they've got like scholarships revoked and et cetera. Putting up 72 points, I think that's great for South Carolina. It gave them an opportunity. I was more impressed with the ground game. And I can say something good here. The changes they made on the offensive line, maybe it had a little bit to do with the fact that it's Charleston Southern, but it looked more like they had bigger holes to run through. Does that make sense, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I credit more Muschamp in this because they asked me at halftime, I think it was. I watched the replay today, actually. And they asked me at halftime. The lady, the reporter there goes, so the changes up with the line, have they helped? And he goes, well, we're blocking them, but listen, that has to do with the fact of who we're blocking. Let's be honest. And so, I mean, he
at least he's honest.
So we'll see. I mean, I will say this. The guy that I really was looking forward to before the whole Feaster thing happened this year, the guy I was looking forward to watching was Kevin Harris, the freshman. And he looked really good. Of course, it's Charleston Southern, but he just looks like he's a big guy. He's athletic and run. And if we can get the running game going, I just want to see this week. My big thing is, can we run the ball against Bama? Like, can we actually open a hole up against Bama and run the ball? And if we can do that, that bodes well for the rest of the year. It bodes well, too, to see how Helinski handles the pressure of a big game. I like Helinski from the standpoint, one, you know, he reminds me of a little bit, his throwing motion is Phillip Rivers. He's kind of got that three-quarter.
It doesn't look like he comes all the way back. It's
He's kind of got that thing, and he's got a quick release. He gets rid of it, which I like. He throws with a purpose, and once again, I know it's Charleston Southern, but just in terms of that, I like the one play he made where he had pressure. He kind of rolled out. He kind of squared his shoulders and kind of zinged one to Shai Smith there. So you saw some good things from him. You know, we'll see how he does against Bama, but I think he's definitely, you can see why he was highly recruited. He doesn't look like he's Chris Smelly or Tommy Beecher. That's my biggest fear, Connor Mitch. He doesn't look like he's in that class. How good he is remains to be seen, but you know, you gotta like him as an individual. I mean, what he's been through in his family, and you know, listen, what I like about him, if you are trying to kind of figure out what he's gonna be like, you know, he's the kind of kid that while football is important to him, I think it's in perspective the rest of his life in terms of what he's had to deal with his family. And so I think the moment, the big to him won't scare him because he deals with, you know, the look, fact of bigger things in his life. So
I've said from the beginning that I will not root against Ryan Helinski. I will not heckle, not say shit about him, because the stuff that young man has dealt with, and he's not even 21 years old. I'm not even sure of how old he is, but he's a college kid. The guy has lost his brother to suicide. And you know what? There's nothing I can say to this kid. Nothing. So if you're going to look for me to say something bad about Helinski on this show, keep looking, because I won't. Even if he plays shitty, yeah, I will not say a word about him, because the guy picked himself up off the mat and continued to prosper and get himself a D1 scholarship. Quick personal thing from me here on the show. When I was 17, my best friend was killed in a car accident. He was on his way to pick me up. And it took me about 2 years to get myself up off the mat and do something with my life. So with that experience for me, when I think about what Helsinki has done with his brother, having to deal with losing his brother, you won't hear me say a crossword about him. And you know what? Regardless of who you cheer for, you should be cheering for Helsinki, because not only does he care about certain things that are great for society, like suicide prevention, because that's what he's dealt with, he seems like he's just an absolutely great kid. Now, he couldn't end up being an asshole, I don't know, but everything from what I've seen, this guy is legitimate as far as being a person. Will he be able to play in the SEC? I don't know. We'll find out, but you won't hear me say shit about him. You just won't.
But the thing is, too, with the suicide, and listen, it's, you know, the suicide thing is really hard to deal with, especially the fact that it wasn't like his brother had all these signs that he was depressed.
Oh, his brother was a Division I quarterback.
It'd be one thing, and listen, not that's going to be any easier, but one thing if you, everyone's got family problems, but if you have a family member who's been struggling with depression for a long time, and they kill themselves, and while you're still surprised, you go, well, yeah, he's really been battling this for a while. It's sad. But this was, he was a starting quarterback at a Pac-12 school, living his dream out, you know, and all of a sudden he does this. And so this is the fact you're trying to question, well, you know, how did this happen? When, why didn't he talk, you know, all those questions you have. I can't imagine his parents, the same thing. And so, that's been really hard too, but I think it was great the touchdown passing through the open the game there. His first one, he kind of pointed to the sky there. He's wearing number 3 like his brother did, you know. So you know, he's playing for his brother. So just it's pretty cool.
Playing for his brother.
Family trying to
absolutely, yeah. And you know, even when if he followed his recruiting, South Carolina was his first big school offer, and I honestly think that's the reason that he went to South Carolina. He shot up on the recruiting rankings later on, but I mean, as far as his first big school offer, he said on the recruiting trail he's a Stanford fan. He wanted to go to Stanford, but Stanford didn't offer. So, yeah.
I think he didn't want to go to Stanford
and have to play in those same stadiums. But yeah, you also have to think, if you move to the other side of the world, that's awesome. I mean, they have the opportunity to have a brand new start with brand new people. And you know what? You can't tell people how to grieve. You know, I learned that too. But it's – anyway. Shout out to the folks on Facebook Live. Dina's saying she's experienced some stuff like that. Trey as well. Yeah, Kenny McKinley with South Carolina. Guy's in the NFL. And – you know, ends up killing himself, and it's just sad. Anyway, I didn't mean to bring the show down. Mike, you mentioned that Alabama, you think you're going to stay within 14 points. If you look at last year, that was
before the season. That's
fair. But if you look at from last season in the SEC play, they beat Ole Miss by 55, Texas A&M by 22, Arkansas by 34, Missouri by 29, Tennessee by 37, LSU by 29, Mississippi State by 24, Auburn by 31. So the idea of it being within, you know, two touchdowns, if they get within two touchdowns, that's a hell of a showing for the Gamecocks, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The spread's already gone up. It's open at 21. That'll be our contest spread. It's 21. It's at 25 in some spots right now. So all the money is going to go on Bama here until it gets to about 27, probably. I don't know. I mean, it's just a weird start to the season. The Tar Heel game, they look horrible. They should have won the game still. Let them come back. And so we thought the Tar Heels were horrible. Now the Tar Heels look like they're not as bad as we thought they were. And then this game here, I guess Charleston Southern, you can't really take anything from it. So
is North Carolina a good team or not? Because I still say they're not a good team. And that tricks back on what I said about Miami.
I don't think they're a good team.
They're a good team.
The guy who impressed me is their quarterback. That kid's a gamer. And
did you watch any of that Miami game? Chaz Surratt was playing linebacker for them, and that guy was the quarterback last year, and he was dotting the I and crossing the T's and lighting guys up.
Yeah, so.
I mean, he was.
He had that fourth down completion, fourth and 17.
Yeah.
He was texting at the time back and forth.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. They got some special going on. So, I don't know. But it's just weird because you really don't know. It's game three, and we don't really know what the Gamecocks are. You know? Like you watch the Tar Heel game, God, they look horrible. But then the Tar Heels look came in not as bad. Maybe it's not as bad as lost we thought. They kill a Charles Southern team, which is horrible. So I don't know. I think that this game we kind of find out.
I don't think we'll find out anything this game either, Mike. Last year LSU was a pretty good team. Alabama shut them out 29-0.
Mississippi State
was a pretty good team. Well, Texas A&M was a pretty good team. You're not going to find out anything after this game.
Well,
we can't pass judgment on what if the game.
What if the Gamecocks hang with Bama and lose by 10? You mean you're going to then? What do you find out?
If they keep it close, yeah. But if you get blown out, do you really know anything about them?
Though. I mean,
my whole point, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying if they go out there and hang with them. And for a while lose by 10, 14 points, and suddenly now you go, okay, this team could probably do some things the rest of the way during the season. But we'll see. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching it to see what we can do and see where we are. You know, that's the main thing, see where we are.
It is kind of a measuring stick. I mean, because you can look and figure out what you want to do and all that good stuff. But I'm not very confident in the Gamecock rush defense. I think that South Carolina is going to get run over a lot this season. I think if I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm just going to keep running at them. Run until they stop it. And if you've got a really good back, like Mizzou's got a great back with Roundtree, Kelly Bryant can run the ball a little bit. If you got really good running backs, I don't think South Carolina is going to cause you a problem at all. Couple of SEC notes before we get into the Clemson game. If your team does not break the streak against Kentucky this year, you really, really need to just shut the hell up about Will Muschamp. Kentucky lost their starting quarterback today due to a knee injury. Terry Wilson, a great young man that was out there, like transferred from Oregon, was all over the place.
And ended up at Kentucky. Lost their quarterback today for the season. So they both had lost their quarterback. Correct. They both have lost their starting quarterback for the season. I mean, we're not gonna kind of talk about that or no.
Who would you rather start the Alabama game, Helinski or Bentley?
My point is, we both have
answer the question. Who would you rather start the game, Helinski or Bentley?
My Stephen Garcia. How about that?
Get the hell out of here! You can't answer a question ever, can you?
I'm just saying that we have lost.
Okay, the majority of the Gamecock fans that are listening on Facebook Live, sound off on who you want to start. If you had Bentley and Helinski right now to start against Alabama, who do you want to start? Just go ahead and let us know. We'll take the informal poll there on the Facebook Live group. But Terry Wilson, of course, is out. And if the Gamecocks don't break that series streak, I truly don't know. I don't even know what to remotely begin to say to you if you can't break that streak.
I want to get audio this now. I've got you in a written word. Are you still guaranteeing that Tennessee will be the Gamecocks this year?
Yeah, I'm not backing off of it because I still think you're a gong show. You should beat Tennessee, but it is a Gamecock team that's going to Tennessee. So you went up there with
far. Has Will Muschamp ever lost Tennessee before, though?
That doesn't matter. Will Muschamp never lost a season opener before this year. How'd that work out for him? You can't play volleyball with me, son. I'm all on it.
Okay.
I'm smarter than you are. Deal with it. Okay. Just the way that it is.
So you're still picking Tennessee, okay.
Yeah, I'm not backing off of what I picked.
Is Jimmy Pruitt still a great coach?
Still a great coach. Better than Muschamp.
Still a great coach.
Okay. Still a great coach. I was getting into the Tennessee bit before you started. Tennessee is, man, they've turned into a shit show. And I'm putting it out there because I thought they were going to be better at the beginning of the season. I don't back off when I say something that ends up being silly, unlike some people, like when they say that North Carolina doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell, or Virginia could play their best game and South Carolina could play their backups and South Carolina would still win by 3 scores. You know, I come through when I am wrong. Right now, Tennessee looks like a shit show. They may be I think that – I don't know if they play Arkansas this year or not. They may be worse than Arkansas. In fact, I'm in a knockout competition with the Mazad cast, which is a podcast that just covers Missouri. You got to pick your – you got to pick an SEC team every week. I'm taking Tennessee this week because they're playing Chattanooga because they may not win a game the rest of the season. That's how far I think Tennessee has fallen. Just wow. I don't know what the hell's going on up there. But
I tell this too, and Gamecock fans are pissed off at the Gamecocks and think our program's a shit show. Look at Tennessee. They're in worse shape than we're in. And they have
more
of the history than we do, more of this, and they've been horrible now for a while. Okay.
I can't really argue. I wish that I could, but I can't.
They've been horrible for a while. They were 0-8 or 2 years ago in the SEC. They were 0-8. Got a few years before that. The one year, the 1-7 beat us. The spur year there, but they've been bad.
Yeah,
that's
the game that I'm talking about where you guys had Shaw and Clowney and all those guys, the all Gamecock world team, and you went up there and gave Tennessee their only SEC win. That game still bothers you, doesn't it? Which game bothers you more, that game, the UVA game, or the North Carolina game?
Oh, not even close. Not even close, Tennessee game.
Yeah, because you win that game, you're probably playing for the national title.
I leave the house. I watch the game with my family and kids. I leave the house because I was afraid I was going to say stuff or my kids were going to see me act in a way that wouldn't be very role model. So I left the house. I left the house, and the game was still in doubt, but I knew we were going to lose. And I actually listened to the one-hand catch on the radio in my car driving around and texting with my friend, my best friend. And who left me a great voicemail, by the way. I've got to play that voicemail again.
Yeah, I've got that voicemail somewhere. It's actually kind of funny. Trey says that Tennessee game haunts him. I think Trey actually went to that game. I think we talked about that. But, yeah, that's a game that just – yeah, anyway. But,
At the game, too, you know, Muschamp gets killed. And I'm not saying he shouldn't get – but Muschamp is the opposite of Spurrier. When Muschamp gets a lead, he runs the ball and tries to not lose the lead. If Will Muschamp was our coach that day, we win the game. Because what we needed to do that game was just run the ball and get the hell out of there. And Spurrier's dropping back. You know, we got to keep the clock stopped. We got to keep dropping back, throwing the ball. That was one of the worst Steve Spurrier play calling moments ever in that game. So Spurrier did the other way. Spurrier was always looking for the juggler. We're gonna put him away again. And like sometimes Steve has this kind of go. So they're both opposites. And it's just funny that, you know, I know we had Sean Elliott in for a couple of games. Basically, we went from Spurrier to Muschamp, complete opposite of each other in terms of how they visualize a game. Spurrier was always like, let's go ahead and take one more shot. You know, end it now. And Muschamp's just like, we got the lead. Let's not do anything stupid. It's just, you know, ball control and let teams in. So, but yeah, that was a gong show game.
I remember taking calls on WVOC in the fifth quarter postgame show, and there were people that were like, how did this happen? How in the world did this happen? And I don't know. All right, so South Carolina and Alabama this week. That's going to be one of our games in the pick'em. Let's talk about Clemson and Texas A&M. You know the thing that got me about this game, and Dina mentioned it earlier. What is Thomas talking about over here on Facebook Live, Mike? Do you know what he's talking about? Maybe I'm missing something.
I don't know.
Did Spurrier threaten to pull a scholarship from injured players? I don't know what he's talking about. Message me, Thomas, and we'll talk because I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, but the Texas A&M game. One thing I took away from that, Clemson, of course, is one of the most talented teams in the country. I still think Texas A&M is going to be pretty good. But the big thing that I took away from it was it almost looked like every other play, Texas A&M had an injury. And I don't know if they just weren't well conditioned or if they were trying to slow Clemson down. Did you watch any of the game, Mike?
I got home in time for that game, so I watched that game live.
Yeah. Did you get that vibe from it?
The game last year, you know, Kellen Mond played like lights out last year. Like he played like he had all the confidence in the world. And I really thought that in this game, he would be confident. And early in the game, it would have made a difference, who knows. But he missed a couple of guys open that probably would have been for touchdowns. That could have changed kind of how the game went. They got a lead there, maybe kind of quieted down. They probably still lose. But he just was missing guys who were open. And last year, he was hitting guys, throwing dimes in the run. He was under a pass rush and, you know, flinging like Patrick Mahomes, you know. And this year, he looked like he was, you know, and to not to crap on Jake Bentley, but he had that Jake Bentley, let me try to steer the ball in there. He's open. Let me steer it to him and instead of throwing the ball. And I think that early on, and A&M played tough early on, and Clemson was just too much for him. But I was just disappointed how Mond played. He played like the moment was too big for him. And I was surprised because he looked like he was real confident last year, but he didn't look confident at all this year.
The stat of the game for me was 289 yards. That's what Texas A&M had total. To put that in perspective, Charleston Southern had 267 yards. And I'm not crapping on the Gamecocks. Shut up.
So our defense was better this past week.
Oh, my God. Anyway, but...
I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. Anyway, that was the one stat I took away from the game. They held an SEC offense, which is considered one of the better offenses, or allegedly going to be one of the better offenses in the conference, to under 300 yards. So congratulations to the defense for that. Travis Etienne had 16 carries for 53 yards. So they were bottling up Travis Etienne. But he did hurt them through the air with four catches for 52 yards. So he had 105 total yards. Still, you know, that's part of his game that he's gotten a lot better with is catching the ball out of the backfield. So there you go. But Lynn J. Dixon, 11 carries for 79 yards. And just doing what he needs to do. Trevor Lawrence made some great throws, but statistically, he hasn't put up huge numbers this year. He did throw another pick, so he has three on the season. That's not what you want. The two picks against Georgia Tech, one of them was just a garbage pick at the end of the first half. But still, 24 for 35, 268 yards. He did throw a touchdown, a beautiful pass, by the way, on the run across his body. As soon as he did that, I was like, I bet Mike would say something like, how in the hell are you throwing across your body? Because don't you tell quarterbacks don't make that throw?
No, you don't make them. And, of course, what happens is you see guys like Brett Favre do it sometimes, and it works, and you try to, you know. But that's not ideal.
Well, it's not ideal, but he made it work. Justin Ross had a great game, 7 catches, 94 yards. And the only touchdown of the game that came through the air was through Justin Ross. But Clemson had, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Was impressed by Trevor Lawrence. Because, one, he had to get out of
he ran out of the pocket, pressured, going away, and then throwing across his body and throwing a dart down the field.
Yeah.
So he put it in the only spot that Ross could catch it. That's what was great about it.
NFL GMs, you know, ejaculating over that one. Pulling that thing up in the room to draft the quarterback in 2 years.
Nine players caught balls for Clemson yesterday. Just a dominating performance. And now the thing that we've got here is that I am thinking that the rest of the season, every line that comes out on Clemson, they're going to be favored by, I'm going to venture to say, 20 points or more. I don't see a team on Clemson's schedule where they're not going to be favored by 20 points. I think that you have to go through and play the games. I get that. But I think that Clemson's pretty much locked themselves into a playoff berth right now. Your thoughts?
Well, your toughest team, you just get them playing. And then, of course, Syracuse this week doesn't look, which we kind of, by the way, I want to credit the podcast because we've been saying all along that we didn't think Syracuse was as good as their projections were. And, of course, Maryland destroyed. And Maryland's not a bad team either, but I could see that coming. Especially with Syracuse looking ahead, hoping to get a game day there, homecoming at the Dome. So you can kind of see that happening. So, yeah, I'm not sure who it is. I mean, I picked Clemson to lose a game this year just because I didn't think he can go undefeated back-to-back years. And so I just chose A&M because that was the toughest team in your schedule. I didn't think Syracuse was worth the crap, so I didn't take them. So I don't know. I'm not sure how on their schedule going to beat you now. Unless,
What I look at is if you look at Clemson's losses, okay, that they've had over the past little bit here, the Pitt game, they had James Conner in the backfield. Nathan Peterman was the quarterback. So you had two guys that are playing pro football right now. When I look up and down Clemson's schedule, I don't know. I don't really see anybody that truthfully has that. That we knew that Conner and Peterman were both going to be pro prospects. We knew that.
Well, what about Feaster and Helinski? Bam!
Helinski's played right one game, Mike, against a Big South team. Stop muddying the waters.
Feaster Helinski.
Feaster has a chance.
Looks like two NFL guys to me. A couple of guys going to Canton. Get the old jackets.
Are you really this stupid?
Just saying.
I truly got nothing for you. As far as ACC games this week that were kind of shocking, we talked about North Carolina and Miami. Maryland beating the piss out of Syracuse. But as you said, both of us were kind of like, maybe Syracuse isn't that good. UVA is 2-0. They're doing their thing. Boston College is 2-0. I think both of those teams will be ranked throughout this. I think UVA is ranked now. Brandon Kuhn says he's picking Virginia to win the entire division. Your son, Joe Anders, says that he thinks that North Carolina is going 11-1. Are you buying that slop?
Well, first of all, I can't stand the Tar Heels. I mean, I can't stand their fans. I can't stand their campus. I can't stand their state, their people, their colors. I can't stand Dean Smith. I can't stand Roy Williams. I can't stand any of them, okay? But it would be pretty funny. I can't root for them. So I would love to sit here and say that'd be great to go 11-1, which it would. I'd get some satisfaction out of it. But I can't root for them. Lose every game. But, you know, if they do win every game, I will keep on posting on Facebook and saying, as I was saying, UNC is the best ACC team we'll face this year, which makes people really mad at Facebook, really upset.
I don't understand how that pisses people off because all you got to do is look at the polls. It's like they're not even ranked, stupid. I don't even know why that bothers me.
I get called names. I get called fat. Fitness.
Like that bothers anybody, by the way.
This post doesn't bother me. I'm going to call you 10 names and comment for 3 hours on it. You think it bothers me?
Austin Powell, by the way, says Wake Forest offense looks good. They have some big receivers.
Oh, UNC Wake Forest this week.
Yep, but they play on Friday night, so I would love to pick that game, but it's on Friday night. That throws the whole freaking contest off, so we will not have that game.
I'd love to watch them play basketball back in the 90s. How about that?
Yeah, with Tim Duncan and Chris Paul and all those guys.
Randolph Childress
and all those guys, yeah.
Yeah, do that. Maybe they play a do with that. Have a basketball game breakout.
By the way, shout out to Coastal Carolina. They went to Kansas and won. I think Les Miles is going to quit that job. Did you see the post over the summer where they put out that they're the only school in the country that has a head coach that won a national title in basketball and a national title in football? And they've got Les Miles and the Kansas coach, Bill Self, standing there like, yeah. And I'm like, as soon as I read that, I was like, that is a comrade post. That is some shit you would post.
It's factual.
It's factual, but
I just post factual stuff.
It's crap. All right, so I'm going to spit some lines out at you guys on Facebook Live. You tell me if you like these games. Spitting them out. Here we go. Let's see here. We can't do the 13th. We have to do games on the 14th, right, Mike?
Yep. Yes, 14th, yeah. Unfortunately.
North Carolina State in West Virginia. North Carolina State's a 6.5-point favorite. Maryland and Temple. Maryland's a 4-point favorite. I'm not even going to give you. You know what? We promised to do. Well, let's do Pittsburgh and Penn State.
I was going to bring that game up. The 8-year-old boy in me. This, that sounds bad. But anyway, let me rephrase that. When I was a youngster, okay.
That doesn't really sound any better either.
Living in the Northeast, okay. Yeah. Pitt Penn State was a big game. Like, that was like, even though I didn't like either team, but like Pitt and Penn State was a big game. And part of it too, Pitt has gone back to their old uniforms now, which are great uniforms. And Penn State, of course, keeps their same uniforms they had since 1910. And it just looks good on TV. It just looks like I really want to go up to Syracuse, New York, and watch that game on my grandpa's old TV. Just pull out there and just, like, you know, watch that game. So I kind of like that game, even though both teams.
All right. Well, I think it was Jeff. Somebody was online saying they wanted us to put some Penn State games in there. They are playing an ACC team, so. I like Pittsburgh and Penn State. That one may work. Let's see if there's some other games.
Let's keep it on the
warmer. It's on the back burner. Obviously, we've got Alabama and South Carolina. Alabama's a 21-point favorite.
Got Stanford and Central Florida. There's an interesting game.
Fuck those teams.
Central Florida is finding national champions.
That's why I say those teams. North Texas and California. There's a lot of crap games this week, Mike.
Southern Cal and BYU.
How about Florida and Kentucky? Two SEC East teams.
We got to do that. We do that every year. We'll do it for Kentucky. We got to have that game in there.
Florida is a 9.5-point favorite.
Ooh, tasty.
It's already dropped to 8, though. Look at that. Kentucky's not going to have their quarterback.
You think they would do it the way around.
That's what I would say. So what the hell's going on there?
People don't think Florida's any good. People have latched on to what I said earlier in the year, that Florida is not that good.
Yep.
And like, it seems like everyone listens to this podcast. That's what's going on. Sharp bettors listen to this podcast.
Yeah, Florida and Kentucky definitely make the list. Clemson and Syracuse are obviously on the list. Clemson's a 24-point favorite. That line's also moving up. We've also got Florida State and Virginia. I don't know. That's an 8-point matchup there. I don't. Yeah. But see, that's Florida, one of those ones. Somebody knows something there, Mike.
Florida State. God, they're horrible. Like, how can you
that
f
is
up
a
that
shit
job?
Shit show.
Like, how can you like how can you really f up that job? Like, I'm trying to think. Like, if you got Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's and made him the coach of Florida State, I think they should win 8 games. Just, like, not doing anything. Just, I haven't, this people, recruits coming in, just, like, I think you still win 8 games. Like, that is a hard job to mess up. It really is.
Mike, I don't know if this is right or not, but they've got UT Chattanooga in Tennessee as a pick'em. Are you fucking kidding me? That has to be wrong.
I don't think the line's out. They have the same thing for Furman, Virginia Tech, the same way.
Yeah, that can't be right.
So I don't think a line has been out yet. That's all that means.
All right. Well, I'm looking at the rest of them here, and as of right now, I think we'd have to go Florida State, Virginia, Penn State, Pitt, and Florida, Kentucky. That should be our 5 picks.
That's a good little slate, though.
That's not
this
bad.
This is the 1 week where the Gamecocks and Clemson both have relatively, you know, let's put it this way. If we were a Gamecock and Clemson show, if we were a Florida State show, we would probably have the Gamecock and Clemson game in our pick'em this week.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
right.
So usually it doesn't happen. Usually, like, you know, we've got to, like, oh, you know, the Gamecocks are playing, you know, like Charleston Southern. Clemson's playing whatever. So,
well, yeah, Trey agrees with us. So that's a man.
That
Trey knows his stuff.
Yeah, Penn State.
So
Pitt,
there's
old school Penn State Pitt, Florida,
right?
Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
SEC shit show game. Which team is a shittier show? And then you've got the Florida State, the Elfman shit show against Virginia. Are they for real?
I think those games work. One game I'm looking at, and I think it's going to be, if you get in on the opening line, Duke and Middle Tennessee started at 3. It's already up to 7. If you got in at 3, take Duke. Other than that, I don't really see any other games that are, like, really slapping me saying Texas Tech, Arizona, but Arizona's a damn gong show.
By the way, did you see UCLA lost to San Diego State? And the reason why I know that, because I actually picked that game in my college pick'em contest.
Did you lose?
Yes, I did lose. Hmm. Because San Diego State's horrible, okay? And the spread was like 6.5.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a lock. Like, it put all my numbers, you know, and they lost to them. Which, by the way, when I realized we weren't going to cover, I go, please lose, Chip Kelly, because you don't deserve to win. But that's horrible.
What the hell did Chip Kelly do to you?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that, I picked him to cover the spread, and he didn't, so I wanted to lose. They're playing Oklahoma this week, minus 17, I think. I mean, I think, and it's up to 21 already. Unreal. Open the 17, it's up to 21 already. People do not have faith in Chip Kelly. That could be a good little UCLA play, though. You know, everyone thinks they're crap now, I don't know. Oklahoma kills teams. Good Lord. Lincoln Riley, he's going to be the Dallas Cowboy coach. Well, probably not now. The Cowboys are good. Mm. But if the Cowboys crap the bed here and go 8-8 this year, 9-7, Lincoln Riley, the Cowboy coach next year. Mark it down.
Final thing. Mike is taking his wife to see Hootie and the Blowfish on Wednesday. Do you want to do a show on Tuesday or Thursday? I don't think Thursday will work for me, Mike. So we got to do Tuesday. Can you do Tuesday?
Yeah, I can do Tuesday.
All right. So everybody wanting a podcast on Wednesday, we got to do it on Tuesday because the comrade's taking his wife.
And listen, if you are set in your ways on Wednesday, just wait till Wednesday and hit the play button right here and pretend it's Wednesday. Okay. Real easy. Okay, so, you know, it's still there for you. But, yeah, we'll do it Tuesday's fine.
Well, Tuesday just works better for me because on Thursday nights, I've got so much crap that I have to work on Thursday nights to get ready for the best game coverage on Saturday.
I bought my wife tickets for our anniversary back in July for Hootie and the Blowfish. Since we're both of that age where we were youngsters when Hootie and the Blowfish were first coming out, we're going to go see them. And their Wednesday is their first show in Columbia. We have 3 shows in a row, but we're going to the actual first one, their first concert back in Columbia on Wednesday. So,
you know, we goof about the comrade not liking people. When he told me that he bought tickets, I was like, you know, I could have got you tickets. You didn't have to pay for them, but that's typical. So. Typical of the comrade.
I got good seats.
Yeah, where are your seats? In the nosebleeds?
Nope.
No.
I'm down in the first level there. Where I sit for basketball games.
Anyway. There's that. Couple of NFL notes. The Pittsburgh Steelers look like crap tonight. Antonio Brown going to the Patriots. I think that's just funny. And you know what? You know why I think it's funny? Because if it doesn't work out with Bill Belichick, he knows the only player on the team he can't cut is Tom Brady. He will cut Antonio Brown after the first practice if he's being a shithead. He will literally cut him. Yeah. So it's like they lose nothing by signing this guy.
And
nothing.
The money is the money they were to pay to Gronkowski. He retired. So it's like they had the money sitting there anyway. It's just like it's classic. And listen, everyone's like, "Oh, the Patriots are just horrible for doing that." Listen, the job in the NFL.
How are they horrible?
Well, my whole point is this, though. And listen, the job in the NFL is to win football games, okay? And people are kind of excited now, thinking, "Oh, Antonio Brown will take down the Patriots from inside now." Belichick wants to happen. I mean, the Patriots may have a bad year just because of they won tonight now, but just because I'm worried about their offensive line play and Brady does not look. I don't know. He started to kind of regress a little bit. I mean, he's 42 years old. But, I mean, Belichick is just, he's the ultimate he's about value. Like,
yeah,
there's value now in Antonio Brown.
Well, look at the guys he's had that he's gotten good stuff out of. Corey Dillon was a gong show before he went there, yeah, but he was talented. Chad Johnson was talented, didn't really have much of an effort there. Randy Moss was one of the best players in football, went there and didn't have a problem until it was time for him to go. But if you're not doing what you're supposed to do there, it's the most risk-free signing ever. Ever.
Well, Chad Johnson, we found out with Chad Johnson that Chad Johnson wasn't very smart. He got there and could not pick up the Patriots' offense. Because he got there and just wasn't. And we found out with Randy Moss, Bill Belichick calls Randy Moss one of the smartest football players he ever coached. People don't think, when you think of Randy Moss, you just think of talented guy. He says one of the smartest guys. So that's what Belichick looks for. How smart are you? And I'm not sure how smart.
Well, the crazy thing about that is you mentioned the lineup, and Zach's talking about that there. Brown, you got Josh Gordon, who was a problem, couldn't stay off the dope. It's not like my grandfather. Are you on the dope?
Aaron Hernandez, red flag.
Aaron Hernandez was trying, he literally killed somebody.
Took a gamble of him, you know.
But he played well.
Had eventually cut him. Well, no, yeah.
Albert Haynesworth had issues there. I mean, literally, he's Bill Belichick should run for president. And I mean that with all sincerity. Because he will bring in everybody and try to take care of them and make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do, as long as he has a set goal of we're going to make the country awesome. I think that look at the people that follow him, and he's excellent across the board. Anyway,
if O.J. Simpson had better knees, he'd probably sign O.J.
I don't think he would sign fucking O.J. O.J.'s 70 years old, Mike.
I was gonna say, he had better knees. If the knees were okay, he could probably carry a few times. Bill would look at him.
Who do you think he wouldn't sign? Who do you think he wouldn't sign?
Nobody. He'd sign Bin Laden. He'd sign Bin Laden, and Bin Laden get a pass rush.
You think if Bin Laden could tuck his beard in, he, you know?
Yeah. If Bill just like
that's
it's
so stupid.
The hip, it's all.
Like, can we get where we need to go? And one other thing, if you watched tonight a little bit of that game, they showed Tom Brady going to hug Gronkowski. Gronkowski looks like he's lost 60 pounds.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he looks like, everybody's talking about, oh, he may come back. There is no way in hell he would come back. He looks smaller. He looks smaller than half the wide receivers out there.
Well, look at guys like, remember Mark Schlereth?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Mark Schlereth was a huge bastard when he played. Big old fat, like not fat, but a big lineman. He retired, and he all weight loss because, like, you don't have to worry about lifting and eating. Like, you got to be big. And so, to take that punishment, Gronkowski, you got to be big. And so now they get to go back and be normal, like normal body, okay? And listen, Gronkowski is 29 years old.
Yeah.
One of the big things why they retired, too, is just at a certain point, I mean, some guy, everyone's different, but, like, I can see Gronkowski saying, it's enough. My body's a wreck. I'm sick of having to do all this stuff to get it ready all the time.
I just thought that was a hell of a visual tonight to see Gronkowski and how he just looked like, whoa, what happened to you, brother? Anyway, Dina says Gronk needs to eat a pork chop or three. Well, you need to fix him one down in Butcher Holler there, Dina. That's where Dina's from. Anyway, Mike, do you have anything else for the show?
That's it. We'll see you Tuesday.
Quick turnaround. We'll have our picks up and all that. Mike should have the picks up on the website by Tuesday, right,
yeah,
Mike?
I'll try to get tomorrow night.
Thank you guys for listening to the show. We truly appreciate it. And with that, the show's a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Comrade podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good and follow the Comrade at the Pesky Pole.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.